Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, hey guys, hold your phone calls for this 6 o'clock hour of the show here on this Friday morning. We're going to feature our conversation with Congressman Troy Downing. He was in studio with us later in the day earlier this week, so we're going to jump right into it. Here you go. This is what we're going to have for the 6 o'clock hour here in the back with you in the 7 o'clock hour. Congressman Troy Downing taking your phone calls and more. Here we go.
Man, I almost forgot yesterday after the show. I said, hey, what are we going to talk about on Wednesday's Montana Talks? And then I looked at my calendar. It's like, hey, that's right. We got Montana's Eastern District Congressman Troy Downing in the House. So we're doing like a Montana town hall meeting here on this Wednesday. But what do you want to talk about? What do you think we should talk about? You can jump in on the conversation. Congressman Downing, great to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me here. You know, Heather and I always love coming to visit you. So for those who can't see, my bride is sitting next to me.
It's good to see you, but much better to see
Heather. You know, I get that a lot.
Yeah,
she's a little easier to look at.
Maybe we should just ignore you and we'll just interview Heather. Okay, tell us what Troy's really been up to back in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. I'm ready for it.
Why don't you kick off the show here, Heather? Tell us what all has been going on back in Washington, D.C.
It's been nonstop.
I was going to say, I was telling Troy, it's so hard to stay up on the news out of Washington, D.C., because so much is happening. President Trump is doing so much. And then, of course, we got the legislature going on. So but even being in the middle of it, it's hard to stay on top of everything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it really, coming in as a freshman, you don't really realize how much happens, what's behind the scenes. And it is so much. Had a lot of really amazing events. He's been working so hard. I mean, there's been days where he's up at 5:30, and there was one day he didn't get home until after midnight. He was working on the Financial Services Committee, and Maxine Waters kept him there
after
midnight. I hate to say that, but that is the truth.
14 hours in committee. That was a long day.
Troy, this is no way to treat an Air Force veteran. You're working Army hours.
Oh, boy, yeah. Getting up at 0:30 and getting home at, exactly.
Yeah. And we had the First Ladies Luncheon. That was amazing. Had a nice group out there, and that was, there's been a lot of really incredible things that I've been able to take place in, and just it's been really an incredible experience.
And Heather's underselling herself on that. She had a bunch of Montanans out to have a luncheon with Melania and put together a whole D.C. tour, did a Capitol tour, did this bus tour around the Capitol. It was very well received, but it was really cool to have Heather grab the bull by the horns and bring out all these Montanans to go have lunch with the First Lady and to see the Capitol up close and personal.
That's very cool. What a class act Melania Trump is, too. I saw her and President Trump doing the Easter celebration at the White House. They were both sitting at tables, just coloring with kids, just being normal grandmas and grandpas, just being normal everyday people. That was very cool to see. All right, well, we got to take a quick break here in just a second. But Troy, I was joking on the radio the other day. I said, it used to be that legislators back in Montana would say, oh, man, Congress is a mess. The Republicans are just fighting each other. Now it's like, man, hey, Congress, man, the Republicans are getting along.
In Congress?
Along. It's like a totally different story.
Our conference in Congress is actually all rowing in the same direction. And I think that what's mitigating that, what's driving that, is having Trump at the top of the ticket.
Yeah, the clear vision, bold leadership.
Absolutely.
All right, well.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Skies turn partly to mostly sunny across the region today. Highs ranging from the mid-50s in Bozeman to around 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies into the evening. Low temperatures from the upper 30s to around 40. And then on Saturday, we can expect a mix of clouds and sun. A late day shower chance towards Bozeman. Highs around 70. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Fromblin.
Securing America.
Thursday, the Coast Guard, DEA, and Department of Homeland Security announced the seizure of nearly 19,000 pounds of cocaine from several drug smuggling ships in the Eastern Pacific between February and April. The estimated value of the drugs? Over $214 million. Captain Robert Kinsey is the commanding officer of the Kimball, one of the Coast Guard cutters involved in the interdictions. He calls the seizures
a cartel's worst nightmare.
He added that U.S. agencies have pushed the cartels further from shore, as the seizures took place more than 500 miles from the U.S. coast.
That's one of our goals, is to make it as expensive and as hard for them to traffic this poison up into the United States.
Captain Kinsey also emphasized the cartels are terrorist organizations.
They don't care who they're hurting.
But added that their ability to do so is being impacted.
You have very little chance of success once we know where they're at.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What the heck? Let's start with Montana Cole, because I've got my Montana Cole up-top T-shirt on.
Looks
right
good
now.
On you.
Beautiful, clean Cole. We
beautiful,
have.
Yeah. Trump said don't ever say Cole without saying beautiful and clean before it.
Yeah. You know, this is something I've mentioned this on the radio show here, but we've got to highlight the significance of these latest actions by President Trump when it comes to coal, when it comes to coal strip, and then, heck, another headline right in front of me right here. President Trump signing an executive order to expedite permitting of a mine in Lincoln County, Montana. We've got to make mining in America great again. But
Permitting reform is a huge part of that. I mean, there's so many. You look at these horror stories on how long it takes to get through the permitting process, which is slowing down everything. So, I mean, that's something that we're looking at pretty closely, is how we can reform the permitting requirements.
So President Trump has already basically made some big news when it comes to the MATS standards, which Joe Biden was using to try to to kill coal strip.
That was specifically aimed at closing down coal strip. And so the entire Montana delegation, we all signed a letter. So me, Senator Dayne, Senator Sheehy, and Congressman Zinke, basically in opposition to that MATS ruling. And it was just lifted, I think, you know, within the last week or two. So that was a big win for coal strip. It allows them to continue operating.
Yeah, and then the Spring Creek mine, they got their expansion plan approved by the Trump administration. There was another reversal by President Trump where Biden was trying to basically block leases on federal lands in Montana and Wyoming.
Right.
It's just victory after victory.
Right.
After
well,
victory.
And another thing that I've got in the hopper, I've got two bills basically for Signal Peak to make sure that they can continue doing. And one is just an extension of the rescinded permit that goes on for another 2 years, because they've got some federal sections that the permitting was taken away. So I've got a bill to reinstate that so they can continue what was already approved. And then longer term, I've got the Crow Revenue Act, which basically swaps out those federal sections with private trust sections, so a future administration can't rescind that ability to mine coal under federal lands again. So that's the long-term solution for that, because as you know, as your listeners know, I mean, that's hundreds of jobs. I mean, not just Musselshell County, that's Yellowstone County, and that's also revenue for the state that's incredibly meaningful. And so I was really happy to get those in the hopper, make sure that we're supporting mining in Montana.
Yeah, so this is the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup, north of Billings.
Yes.
The majority of their workforce actually lives in Yellowstone County, and that's partly why Signal Peak Energy ponied up $6 million to build a new hockey arena.
Yeah, awesome.
Hockey's a big deal. I mean, you got people that will travel from Bozeman all the way up to northeast Montana just to find a sheet of ice.
And that's the thing that people need to understand. It's not just, and I mean, not to discount anything, it's not those almost 300 workers there. And those are high paid, you know, well compensated workers, because they, you know, they work long hours. It's a tough job, and that's meaningful to them and their families. And obviously they spend that money in the community, so it's important to the community. But these organizations, they're putting
putting their money into the communities. And we've got, you know, the tax revenues, the culture, we got all this other stuff that is meaningful to the entire state. And it's not just those 300 workers, which are incredibly important. It's everything else that we're seeing from that. So I'm just really happy that we are changing the direction of a ship that was about to close all that down under the previous administration.
What's going on behind the scenes, or what are some of the big things that are moving through Congress or that President Trump is doing that's not getting the attention in most of the media or even just amongst, you know, everyday Montanans?
Well, you know, a lot of this is we've got all these CRAs, these Congressional Review Act bills that have been coming up, which really what those are aimed at is we can get those through with a simple majority vote. So it's filibuster proof, and it allows us to undo 11th hour regulations that the previous administration did. And so we're just getting a bunch of those through. You know, we're now, we got our budget resolution passed in both the House and the Senate. So when we get back on Monday, you know, we're starting on the reconciliation part. And I'll tell you, there's two things that are top of mind in the process that we're going to be going through over the next several weeks is making sure that we renew the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, because, you know, the tax burden, if that's allowed to expire, will be an average 26% increase to a Montanan and about a 43% increase for a small business in Montana. And we just can't suffer that. I mean, it's not just, you know, that that personal income that takes away from a family or for a wage earner. You know, it's really about being able to live that American dream, is having that cash, you know, out there in the community rather than paying for government. And that's how you build an economy. That's how you build everything that we've come to enjoy and love in Montana. That's how you build your American dream. So that's part of it. And the other part is we've been spending ourselves into oblivion. And so making sure that we're getting reasonable cuts in spending there. And on the House side, we're looking at a $1.5 trillion reduction in spending, you know, over the next 10 years. And, you know, there's folks that thinks that that's too much. There's folks that think it's not enough. But I just want to put things into perspective, because basically the federal government right now believes we are either misspending through fraud, waste, and abuse $500 billion a year right now. So that's, you know, $500 billion just in what they're admitting is out there. So when you're talking about a $1.5 trillion cut over 10 years, and that's a drop in the bucket over all of the misspent, you know, fraudulent, wasted, you know, money out there. So I think we can hit that $1.5 trillion. I think we can exceed that. And one thing a lot of people don't understand is, you know, the technical part of this, that budget resolution is just the floor. So it gave numbers to each committee of jurisdiction on, you have to find at least this much in savings. So like on the financial
you
services.
You have to make permanent what DOGE is identifying in the short term here, because it's a $2 trillion deficit that Joe Biden handed off.
Oh, we'll get into the DOGE thing after the break, but I got to tell you, it's scary what that team is uncovering.
Yeah. Evelyn Vibram with the Big Sky Business Journal quoted an NFIB report. Troy gave some of the numbers. Congressman Downing just gave some of the numbers. But yeah, 136,000 Montana small businesses would get a significant tax hike if the Trump tax cuts are not made permanent.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Promises are one thing, policies and performance are another. Saying that you'll cut carbon emissions by one half by year 2030, less than 7 years away, is easy. But making good on those commitments is quite another. When you bring in the fact that in order for reductions to impact climate, they must be carried out globally, it adds up to a massive overhaul in energy production that will require enormous investment. A recent study by consulting firm S&P Global looked at how a global transition to carbon-free energy might impact the demand for copper. An important concession to reality in the S&P study is a recognition that other factors, most notably the industrialization of less developed countries, will increase the global appetite for the metal as well. The upshot is that copper producers will need to refine twice as much copper by 2035 than has ever been produced, both through mining and recycling. How exactly are we going to do that? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Tax season is done, and this year congressional Republicans converted tax season into sales season. Republicans and President Trump are pushing to approve a bill to reauthorize his 2017 tax cut package. Otherwise, those tax cuts expire later this year. Rates for nearly every American spike if Congress doesn't act within the next few months. If Congress stumbles, the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation estimates that a married couple with two children earning $165,000 a year is slapped with an extra $2,400 in taxes. A filer with no kids making $75,000 annually could see a $1,700 upcharge on their tax bill. But technically, Republicans aren't cutting taxes. Congress had to write the 2017 tax reduction bill in a way so that reductions would expire this year. That was for accounting purposes. Congress didn't have to count the tax cuts against the deficit thanks to some tricky number-crunching mechanisms. But the consequent of that was that taxes could climb if lawmakers failed to renew the old reductions. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Donald Trump's America.
After his swearing-in in the Oval Office, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Paul Atkins said his top priority is creating a firm regulatory foundation for digital assets.
We will work to ensure that the United States is the best and most secure place in the world to invest and to do business.
Atkins served at the SEC during the George W. Bush administration and since then has been an advocate for cryptocurrency platforms.
I will work to protect investors from fraud, keep politics out of how our securities laws and regulations are applied, and advance clear rules of the road that encourage investment in our economy to the benefit of America.
President Trump won broad support from digital currency groups during the campaign and has established a first-of-its-kind strategic Bitcoin reserve and digital asset stockpile. Critics have questioned President Trump's own business interests in crypto coins. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, partisan rhetoric is clouding the issue of SNAP reform and once again threatening to ruin the chances for a new farm bill. But the real question among industry leaders, both in Washington, D.C. and out here in farm and ranch country, is it a cut or a savings? House Agriculture Committee Chair G.T. Thompson insists that Republicans will not cut food stamp benefits to the needy, arguing in this year's budget debate.
Mr. Speaker, we must meet the vital supplemental food needs of Americans that Congress committed to fulfill through SNAP, and we will. We cannot allow excess or lack of accountability within a bureaucracy, though, to compromise fulfilling that obligation.
Now, he's referring to state SNAP overpayments or federal pandemic benefit hikes that the GOP feels should be reined in.
Thoughtful policies that recognize the value of work, hold states accountable, promote program integrity, and in the long run, protect the safety net for those Americans who truly need it should be our priority.
However, Democrats like ranking Ag member Angie Craig see GOP budget-instructed savings as cuts that could once again mean no new farm bill at the end of the day.
It's also going to send instructions to my House committee to cut up to $230 billion from SNAP. And many of you know that the nutrition title is a really important part of the farm bill that allows us to bring the coalition together and get a farm bill across the finish line. We've got to be able to bring about 100 Democrats across the aisle to support a farm bill.
That's given that a significant number of Republicans may not even support a farm bill, while some speculate that SNAP could be included in budget reconciliation. Another tough fight, though, whether it's about savings or cuts. At the end of the day, I guess only time will tell. Stay with us while more Ag News right after this.
You're invited to Stetsons and Stilettos May 2nd at Swift River Ranch, the fundraising event for the Nile Foundation that provides scholarships to students pursuing careers in agriculture. Stetsons and Stilettos is reimagined this year with a more casual atmosphere. Enjoy the auctions, the Kentucky Derby Calcutta, and live music and dancing to Exit 53. Buy a table, buy a ticket, or pay a cover charge to enjoy the band, but do come and support the Nile Foundation's scholarship program. Purchase tickets online at thenile.org. At Ag West, we know ag financing like you know office hours are all the hours. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. You can find us anytime, day or night, at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer. Equal housing lender.
Well, horse owners across our region are reminded to vaccinate their animals against West Nile virus. Horse owners are encouraged to contact their veterinarian about vaccination. Now, West Nile virus and other mosquito-borne diseases like Eastern and Western equine encephalitis pose serious health risks to our equine friends. In fact, horses become infected through mosquito bites, and even though many may not show symptoms at all, some can experience serious neurological illness or, worse yet, even die. Clinical signs may include fever, stumbling, muscle tremors, and behavior changes. So again, for more details, visit your local veterinarian. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we got the phone lines open for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation with Montana Congressman Troy Downing here with us for the full hour, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. In fact, I'm reminded I need to go double check those messages here as we get up and rolling. Congressman Downing, you know, as we were kind of joking during the break about how, y'all, 2 years ago, it was like, man, those Republicans in D.C., they're just fighting each other. Now they're all rowing in the same direction. Back in Helena, though, there is some good news out of the state legislature in Helena. The income tax relief bill put together by Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr, it's now headed to Governor Gianforte's desk. And he told me that the governor will sign that bill into law. Not one Democrat in the state House voted for that income tax relief.
Really? And
only two in the state Senate voted for it. So hats off to Democrat Senator Morajot and Democrat Senator Jonathan Windyboy. They were the only two Democrats to support income tax relief.
So what is that? Why does the other side want to take more of your money? Why do they think that the government is better at spending it than you are? I just don't understand that philosophy.
Well, I mean, going back to the Trump tax cuts that you and I were discussing, I think you were state auditor at the time, and you know, then Democrat Governor Steve Bullock opposed the Trump tax cuts because he said it was going to cause this massive hole in state revenues, and it didn't.
Yeah.
It led to a Trump bump.
Well, the thing you got to look at too is, you know, you've got the income and expense, you know, you've got these two sides of your balance sheet, and you need to understand that we are just, you know, burning money. Like I was talking before the break about, you know, the GAO, you know, the feds think that taxpayers loses, you know, $500 billion annually to fraud, you know, $2.7 trillion in improper payments from the Fed. CMS is saying that they're making $140+ billion in improper payments just in 2024 alone. So nobody's talking about that leak where all of this taxpayer money is just like leaking out. And they're so worried about, you know, reining in spending and reining in the taxes and allowing you to keep more of your hard-earned money as we're just, you know, basically dumping it over the edge here. So I got to tell you, you know, there's been people that have, you know, reached out to our office concerned about the Doge team and concerned about Eli, but I think that this couldn't have waited, you know, a month later. I mean, we needed to do this because this money is just flowing out like crazy, and we need to stop it. And even some of the things, because we've had a couple of meetings with Elon in Congress, and he's telling these horror stories about the SBA having $300 million in loans out to people that are 130 years or older, but of course you're never getting paid back. So I mean, that's I think somebody should go to jail for that. I mean, that's clearly fraud. And you look at that kind of stuff, or the fact that the Fed, for a vast majority of the checks that they've been sending out, don't have a memo or an authorization, so there's no way you can audit it to see if those payments made were legitimate or not. I mean, the whole thing is a mess, and we need to tighten up our fiscal house here, because you know, that's what we ran on. That's what the voters want. That's what the people of Montana want. That's what the people of the United States of America want. They want to keep more of their money, and they...
One of the phone lines here, if you've got a quick question or a comment, give us a call, 406-294-0970. Jerry in Kalispell, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Hi there. How are you folks?
Doing great. Thank you.
I have a question. Like thousands of us in the Flathead Valley, we're having to deal with Logan Health. And one question I have, and hundreds of us have, they adamantly refuse to give us itemized bills. They'll send us bills that say summary billing statement, but they're billing for doctors we've never seen, procedures we've never had, and so don't what bill what the, our insurance companies.
So I was the commissioner of insurance for the last 4 years for the state of Montana. So I've seen how a lot of this stuff works. But my understanding is you have a right to that information. And if they're not giving it to you, you should basically insist that they do. And if they continue to not do that, then you should reach out to either your insurance company, if this is an insured thing, you should be, or to the regulator to make sure that they're giving you that information. Because that is your data that you have a right to. And I strongly suggest you demand that.
Well, and that's a great point there by Jerry, too, because I know you've seen this, is certainly when you were Commissioner of Securities and Insurance as a state auditor for Montana, that we've got to figure out how to eliminate more of these middlemen in healthcare. You know, whether it's the PBMs from the pharmaceutical side or how can we pay cash, increase HSA opportunities, and then get a price ahead of time so that you can, actually make healthcare more affordable.
And there's so many good ideas out there, and there's a lot of folks pushing for, value-based pricing. So, it disincentivizes doing procedures or tests that you don't really need to do. And so it basically says if you come in with tonsillitis, the value of treating that is X dollars. And they whatever the tests or treatment are is based on that. So there's a lot of talk about trying to find ways of reining in that spending through programs like that. And I think we need to continue having those conversations because we're seeing in healthcare, we're seeing the prices go up. We're seeing the cost of pharmaceuticals going up like crazy. That's one of the biggest growth areas. And so, obviously in Montana, we looked at the, PBM industry, and that's something that's being talked about in D.C. as well, and how we can basically turn the lights on in that industry and make sure that people get value.
For somebody like Jerry in Kalispell, if she says, hey, I'm trying to get this information, they're not giving it to me, should she follow up with James Brown, the state auditor, or is there a federal agency she should follow up with?
I would start with the actual hospital and say, hey, I have a right to this, and you have a duty to give it to me, and run that up their flagpole. And if they continue to refuse, then I think you've got the ability to file a complaint.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you want to jump in on the conversation. Congressman Downing, so the Trump tax cut, so why is there a delay? Why haven't they moved faster on just getting that across the finish line? What's the holdup?
Well, the big part is...
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here. We got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. In fact, before I talk about homeowners insurance, let's jump right into the phone lines. We've got Ted south of Olney. Ted, good to hear from you. Did you have a quick question or comment for Congressman Downing?
Hey, I did, gentlemen. Thank you. I just wanted to follow up with a call that was made earlier about the difficulty in getting an itemized statement from the hospital. And I don't know if you followed it, but recently in the Montana legislature, there was a legislation put forward to increase transparency, disclosure, and pricing information by the medical organizations, and there was a massive turnout by the medical lobby and influencing our representatives and senators so that this legislation didn't pass. So it's difficult to combat this kind of hide and seek without the support of the people that are supposed to be representing us.
Boy, I hear that. In fact, there was a headline here. Ted, thanks for the call. There was a headline in the Montana Television Network. Hospitals lobbying frustrates Montana lawmakers who sought to boost oversight. I mean, look at and look at some of the crazy stuff, by the way, that the Montana Hospital Association, or at least the Healthcare Association lobby, has lobbied for in the past. Congressman Downey, you probably see it at the federal level sometimes,
well,
too.
I think the one thing we can expect and should demand in all things government is transparency. I mean, that was one of the things that we did with our pharmacy benefit manager bill we got through about 4 years ago, is just turning the lights on, making sure people understand, you know, how drugs are being, you know, acquired from the manufacturing, what the rebates look like, what the spread pricing looks like. Make sure that you turn the lights on so people can make informed decisions, and so that businesses contracting with these businesses, so like the payer provider, you know, part, so that they understand, you know, the transparency of that. But I think that the one thing that we should all expect, especially with something as personal as your health records and health information and health building, is having complete transparency so that you understand exactly the services provided and exactly what was charged for that. I think that's a minimum that we should be demanding.
Any trips to El Salvador planned anytime soon?
Oh, my gosh. You know, that whole thing, you know, it's interesting because, you know, clearly this guy was here illegally. Clearly he's part of MS-13. I think that we don't want people like that in the United States of America. You know, we don't want criminals that are crossing the border illegally. And MS-13, as you know, is almost a terrorist organization. I mean, they're a violent, you know, group with complete disregard to humanity. And what really I think is interesting is on the other side of the aisle, we've got both senators and members of members of the House that are flying down there to, you know, talk to the government down there and potentially talk with this illegal alien down there. And it's just weird. What are you advocating for?
Well, that was a point I brought up earlier, which is like, okay, so EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin is talking about, apparently it's worse than it's ever been before, the toxic waste that's being, the sewage that's being put into the waters where our Navy SEALs train in California by Mexico.
That's a big issue.
There's apparently a veteran U.S. citizen who's being detained in Venezuela right now, and the family can't get their Democrat senators to take up their cause.
Right.
But all these Democrats want to travel to El Salvador to advocate for an illegal alien MS-13 gangbanger who beat up his wife and is accused of human trafficking.
Exactly. But here's one thing, and I shouldn't, you know, smile or gloat about this, but there's at least one Democrat member of my freshman class who has flown down there and said that she's not coming back until they release him. And I think, okay, we got a thin majority. Now we just got one more vote. So God bless her.
Well, who was it? I think it was Jesse Waters who was talking about how some Republicans are offering to pay for the trips for the Democrats to go down there. Actually, yeah, let me play this clip for you here. Let's see. Where was it at? Jesse Waters talking about the Democrats heading down to El Salvador. I think this is it. Here we go.
Will this administration continue to oversee the deportation of 400,000 people a year?
As long as Congress gives us the money to deport 400,000 people a year, that's what the administration is going to do. That's our obligation under the law. We will be strategic about how we do it. And the number of those folks who are either criminals or recent arrivals will continue to go up. But yes, this is our obligation under the law. We must enforce it, and we will do that.
Barack Obama drone-striked an American citizen overseas. What has more due process? Your president murdering you with a missile without a hearing, or your president flying an illegal alien home?
All right, and then he goes on to point out how, like, basically, the Democrat Party is so crazy right now, they don't even realize they're crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's why Republicans are offering to pay for their trips to El Salvador. In fact, I threw out the question, on X or something, maybe we should offer to pay the travel for these Montana Democrats that were at the AOC Bernie Sanders rally. And then Tim and Savage had a follow-up. Is this a one-way ticket or a round-trip ticket?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like I said in that one story of my freshman colleague from the other side of the aisle, she's staying down there until she gets him out. So, you know, God bless her.
That first soundbite, though, they said, you know, as long as Congress funds our efforts, we will keep doing it. Well, I guess I'm assuming you're all in on the funding support to make these deportations happen. But what are you hearing? When I last
chatted with Governor Greg Gianforte. He said the estimate he got from the feds is that there's about 1,000 illegal aliens in Montana. What are you hearing about the effort to get them out of Montana, in particular from the ICE agents and others on the ground?
Right. Well, you know, what we've been doing in Congress is we haven't gotten to the, you know, spending part of that yet, but we have been passing a lot of laws dealing with immigration and dealing with the deportation of criminal illegal aliens. I mean, I'm sure you've talked to your listeners about the Laken Riley Act. And the Laken Riley Act is basically, you know, based on that horrible thing that happened to Laken Riley, obviously got murdered by an illegal alien. But it started out very narrowly focused on very specific types of crimes. And we've been slowly expanding that to, you know, include other types of crimes. So I have a bill in the hopper right now that I've introduced to expand that to, you know, property crimes. So, you know, if somebody commits an act of arson on your home and they're here illegally, they're taken, you know, custody by ICE and they're put through the deportation process as it should be. And, you know, one of the things that was in your clip, you know, the obligation under the law. I mean, we need to do what, you know, what the law states. We need to stick to the black and white of the law. We are a nation of laws. Finding the money to make sure that we're doing that's the next part of the conversation.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. And if you call in right now, we should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time, which is quickly escaping us here. Homeowners insurance. I know you were looking at this issue as state auditor and commissioner of securities and insurance. California really has created so many of these problems. I'm hearing from a lot of people. They're saying, holy cow, you know, we've talked about property taxes in Montana, but have you looked at your homeowner's insurance lately?
Well, here's a big part, and people need to understand this. And I've said this before, you know, probably on your show. You know, it's directly correlated to inflation. You know, the cost to replace a home has gone up. So those prices have gone up. The cost of labor, the cost of buying a stick of lumber or buying an electrical junction, all that's gone up. And a lot of folks, you know, think that, you know, $200,000 house that they bought, you know, 40 years ago, is adequately insured for $200,000, where it may cost, you know, $500 or $600 to replace it. And so the insurance sector is catching up with that, you know, inflation of replacement costs. And so one of the things that we are focused on right now in Congress, as I talked to you about before, is cutting spending, reducing taxes, making sure that we, you know, stoke the engine of the American economy, just like Trump did in his first term in office. And if we do that, you know, that's going to start creating prosperity, start fighting inflation, and start bringing those costs down. Because the way that you're going to affect those costs in insurance is by bringing the replacement costs down. And I just want to mention something that you brought up about what's going on in California. They've completely decimated their market down there because they put artificial caps. And insurance is simple math. You know, you've got the income from premiums and it has to cover overhead and your obligations for losses, to pay for losses. And if those losses get more and more expensive, of course, the premium has to go up. And what California did is they put artificial caps on all of that, which basically the insurance companies had to make a decision. Am I going to continue operating in California at a loss? Or am I going to take my business elsewhere? And so they started non-renewing, and their insurance market got tighter and tighter and tighter. And what happens with lack of competition? Prices go up, and that's exactly what they saw. And that's not something we saw in Montana, because we looked very closely at those premiums and the, you know, the expenses for replacement, and made sure that we were balancing: is that excessive? Is it adequate? Is it illegally discriminatory? All the things that the tools that we had in our toolbox to make sure we were doing the right thing to advocate for the consumers and make sure that industry could survive.
All right, let's hold it right there. Yeah, there's more of that conversation with Congressman Troy Downing. We also had a great caller who said, hey, I want to see more action out of the Republican Congress. And that's part of what we talked about earlier in this week, too. You know, former Speaker Gingrich saying, hey, let's start getting the tax cuts made permanent. Let's start seeing some action if you don't get it done by the 4th of July, etc. Anyway, full audio on the Montana Talks app. Back with the legislative update next.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
It's been a full-on war that then became a USA versus Russia war, because we were funding the war, hundreds of billions of your dollars, and it could have been stopped had we had a president with a backbone and a spine that would have gotten involved and tried to put an end to this before it even began. Anyway, so we know that the latest pitch would be formal U.S. recognition of Ukraine's Crimea Peninsula as Russian territory, which has been a departure. Now, do I like it? No. Does it reward bad behavior? In a way, it does. but the behavior happened a decade ago. And if you think it's going to go backwards, you're dreaming. It's just not going to change. Sometimes you just have to face reality.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, crime is at an all-time high, and you might already own a firearm, but you need to start with the less lethal option to avoid the financial and mental repercussions of pulling the trigger. Well, enter Byrna, BYRNA.com. Check out their videos. Now, Byrna's less lethal launchers are equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition. It's designed to incapacitate any attacker for up to 30 to 40 minutes. And Byrna is so excited to introduce their all-new compact launcher. It's sleek, it's slim, and it hits like a sledgehammer. It fires at 400 feet per second with 41 joules of force per square inch. Byrna, it's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a background check. They can ship it directly to your door. And Byrna is trusted by hundreds and hundreds of police departments and government agencies worldwide. Try it before you buy it. Go to Byrna, BYRNA.com, and find the Byrna dealer partner near you. That's Byrna, BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Skies turn partly to mostly sunny across the region today. Highs ranging from the mid-50s in Bozeman to around 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies into the evening. Low temperatures from the upper 30s to around 40. And then on Saturday, we can expect a mix of clouds and sun. A late-day shower chance towards Bozeman. Highs around 70. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montanans are one step closer to getting significant income tax relief. I've spoken with both Speaker of the House Brandon Lear and Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. They both believe the governor will sign this income tax relief bill into law. Check out the details, what it means for you and your pocketbook. We've got that story and much more. MontanaTalks.com. Plus, full audio breaking down property tax relief discussion on the Montana Talks app.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
As the 16th week of the 2025 legislative session draws to a close, the question on everyone's mind is, when will it end? At this point, it's still anyone's guess, but the consensus of most legislators is that the motion to adjourn sine die will come early next week. Between now and then, there's still lots of work to do. 2 days ago, we talked about the governor's amendatory veto power, and just yesterday, he exercised that power on one of our bills. Senate Bill 218, sponsored by Senator John Fuller, would grant a private right of action to anyone who underwent gender reassignment surgery as a minor and later regretted the decision for any number of reasons. Back on April 9th, this bill was amended on the House floor when a handful of moderate Republicans joined with all of the Democrats in a move that a transgender lobbyist later bragged had gutted the bill. The governor's amendatory veto restores the original intent of the bill and restores the protections that the bill was meant to provide. The vote to accept or reject the governor's amendments will be held later today on the House floor. Meanwhile, a hearing on a similar issue took place yesterday in Missoula in the courtroom of Judge Jason Marks. At issue was Senate Bill 99 from the 2023 legislative session, which banned gender transition procedures on minors. As the evidence of permanent harm continues to build, similar bans have been passed in other states and in several European countries. We now know that so-called gender-affirming care often results in genital mutilation and permanent sterility. The question is whether or not a minor is mentally capable of providing informed consent for such life-altering procedures. The social contagion of transgenderism sweeping through our schools is creating a tidal wave of young people undergoing these procedures procedures, often, as the state argued, without an adequate or even any psychological evaluation. This, in turn, has resulted in a massive uptick in the number of people who regret their decision and later detransition to the degree that they can. In some cases, scars remain and the damage is permanent. In the case of Chloe Cole, the regret came almost immediately after undergoing a double mastectomy at age 15. Thankfully, she had not yet undergone genital reconstruction, but still worries that she may be sterile because of the heavy doses of hormones that she took. In yesterday's hearing, Michael Noonan, arguing for the state, said that Article 2 of the Montana Constitution gives the state the power to protect children, which Senate Bill 99 clearly does. He also made many of the arguments mentioned above, but Judge Marks seemed unconvinced. Instead, he seemed to sympathize with the ACLU lawyers' arguments that the same privacy protections afforded minors seeking an abortion without their parents' knowledge also apply here. That logic was the result of a deeply flawed Montana Supreme Court decision that basically said children of any age have complete reproductive autonomy, a decision no doubt cheered by every pedophile in the state, and which is so suspect that it's currently under review by the United States Supreme Court. This is one of the weaknesses of stare decisis. Bad precedent begets bad precedent, and flawed logic begets flawed logic. It defies common sense to believe that the framers of the Montana Constitution meant for 12 and 13-year-old kids to make permanently life-altering decisions without their parents' knowledge or consent. We applaud Governor Gianforte and the legislature for doing the right thing in the face of judicial activism, and we pray that later today, the legislature accepts the governor's amendments to Senate Bill 218. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for another great legislative update. Here's one more legislative update to throw at you here. I was just checking X. I saw State Senator Jeremy Priebus pointing out that the massively overspent government budget is now headed to the governor's desk. So I agree with Speaker of the House Brandon Lear. I agree with Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell yesterday. He said, I hope that Governor Greg Gianforte's veto pen has a lot of ink in it so he can veto this massive overspending that's coming out of the legislature in Helena with a handful of Republicans teaming up with the Democrats. So there you go.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Promises are one thing, policies and performance are another. Saying that you'll cut carbon emissions by one half by year 2030, less than 7 years away, is easy. But making good on those commitments is quite another. When you bring in the fact that in order for reductions to impact climate, they must be carried out globally, it adds up to a massive overhaul in energy production that will require enormous investment. A recent study by consulting firm S&P Global looked at how a global transition to carbon-free energy might impact the demand for copper. An important concession to reality in the S&P study is a recognition that other factors, most notably the industrialization of less developed countries, will increase the global appetite for the metal as well. The upshot is that copper producers will need to refine twice as much copper by 2035 than has ever been produced, both through mining and recycling. How exactly are we going to do that? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.